Welcome to the 68th edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded immediately after numbers 66 and 67 on the evening before the second leg of our Champions League tie with Barcelona. By the time you hear this, that game will be a fading but hopefully happy memory. However, we will make no predictions. Our sponsors are GoonerShirts.com, the best of many websites knocking out unofficial Arsenal t-shirts. Others are, of course, available. I'm your host, David Udo, and for our third podcast of the evening, we have on the panel both men that have edited the Gooner in the fanzine's lifetime. The man at the typewriter from 1987 through until 2001 was Mike Francis, whilst his successor, still going in, where it says here, 2111, is Kevin Witcher.
It feels that long.
And making up the panel is the delectatious Lindsay Sheehan of GunnerTalk.com. So, she wore a yellow ribbon, she wore a yellow ribbon in the merry month of May. However, she didn't have to go to Manchester United with her reserves on a Saturday tea time. So, where to start? It's the FA Cup. Let's go backwards before we go forwards. And the attendance for the replay against Leighton Orient, featuring 59,000 Arsenal fans, 18,000 of which came dressed as red chairs. Lindsay, should FA Cup ties be on the season ticket, bearing in mind, well, you know the reasons?
I think that we should start doing some kind of, with the new ticket system, with the new swipe cards, I think they can tell what games you've turned up and what you haven't. And if you haven't turned up for X amount of games, I don't think you should get the ticket. It's embarrassing. I don't know why they insist on mugging us off with those statistics. And I wrote to, and I emailed them and got a response today, basically just telling me that that's the way it is. And I find that's it. That was their input back.
Fair enough. Mike?
It's difficult, isn't it? It's like, I know what Lindsay means about, but if you don't turn up for games, you shouldn't have the privilege of a season ticket. But I don't know. I mean, like, so many people just, like, you know, loan set tickets out for one game or another. How many people actually use their season ticket for every game? I think it's a diminishing number.
Sadly, I think you're right.
I don't see why what harm it would do just to give out two numbers, just to shut everyone up that really moans about the attendance. Frankly, does it bother me? Not really, that they get telling me there's 59,000 when clearly the evidence in front of me is that there's a lot less. But I think that it surely couldn't do any harm to say tickets sold 59,000, people turned up 39,000 or whatever it was, because it was nowhere near 59. And there was, out of the 14 seats grouped around me, mate, I think there was only eight that were filled, and that tells its own story.
Kev, how do you feel? I mean, do you think it's fair that FA Cup ties, bearing in mind you're essentially literally going into a hat with 63 other balls with regard to who you could play? Yeah, it could be Manchester United, could be Newport County, and you know, with that comes a second string team selection. Should FA Cup ties have the same rules applied to them as Carling Cup ties, which for my money are generally more entertaining?
Well, certainly the team selection is in sympathy with the Carling Cup, in that you're going to see weakened teams, so in theory you're not getting what you sign up for when you buy a season ticket. However, the club's perspective on it is a no-brainer. I mean, the fact is, they had 6,000 tickets to sell to Arsenal fans for the Orient replay. And so they did successfully sell all of them. They did need to go to general sale, as in Joe Public, to actually get rid of them all. Now, if you add to that 45,000 season ticket holders, if those season ticket holders had the option of buying their tickets at the prices which the club were charging, then the attendance would have been much lower than it actually was. You know, I mean, it was probably about 40,000. It would probably have been around the 25,000 mark if people had the option. What I'd like to see is basically the FA Cup taken off the season ticket, and then Carling Cup prices charged for the less glamorous FA Cup ties, and then you get a full stadium. And the clubs still make money, because these people are going to buy stuff, you know, the programme, stuff in the shops, the food, etc. So, you know, they might not make quite as much money as they do charging full season ticket prices, but it would be a much better atmosphere, the stadiums would be full, and it might actually help the team in a funny sort of way, because you know, that is what happens on Carling Cup nights. The crowd seem to be more into it, and the team's performance is a reflection of that. So the club are never going to do it. You know, the seven cup ties, you know, three or four of them are going to be Champions League games, three of them are going to be FA Cup games. They are not going to want to risk that income, which is sad, really. But, you know, as a consequence, we are going to get nights like the Orient Replay where people are not going to come. And it's an indictment of the new stadium and the policy, and something we've got to learn to live with. Very sad, though.
But it is quite irritating as a fan. I will go to watch the Sheffield United games or the Leyton Orient games. And people don't. And then when we get to Wembley, those same people who haven't bothered watching those rounds will then automatically get a ticket to go. And I think that if you were to use the swipe system and you have gone to every round, I don't care who goes, if you do the ticket exchange, which is a great system that I don't think gets used enough. But if there was some kind of, you know, system that, right, OK, you've had to go to at least all the home games on your season ticket to get to that Wembley final, I think a lot more people would use those tickets.
Well, in that case, I will put that proposal forward to the IESA committee that does meet with the club and put suggestions to them. And in fact, you know, I know for a fact that the current system whereby priority is given to people with more away credits is an IESA initiative from many years ago. So I could see the reasoning behind that. I mean, obviously, some people might say, well, they're just lending their season ticket out, they're not going themselves. But at least the seat is being used.
To be fair, the away tickets are used in the same way. There's a lot of people that buy away tickets that sell them on. So it's no real difference. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think it would be a great way of doing it. I'm not convinced the club will put the effort in to make it happen, but it would make perfect sense to reward the people that are there week in, week out.
I did find it quite harsh that long-time podcast contributor Mark Onnington, who over the course of his life, like myself, has been to far too many away games than is reasonable, goes to every home game that he possibly can, but owing to recent family commitments, doesn't go away anymore. He's got a new baby. He missed out on the ballot despite going to every single home game. I was fortunate. I with literally two away credits, I didn't go to Portsmouth, I had a chance here before last. I was lucky in the ballot and got a ticket. Yet two guys who sit next to, well, where my old seat was, would pick and choose what home games they came to. I bumped into them. Yeah, they got a ticket in the ballot. You know, that's just really, really not fair. And, you know, you can, as mentioned by Lindsay, in this Oyster card world that we now live in over our new stadium, there are records of who's been to what game. So rather than rely on a token ballot, you know, why not do a league table, as it were? Find your ultimate gooner, as it were, generally the guy with 200 shirts and the beret. our FA Cup adventure. I was disgusted by the team's, I use the word loosely, performance at Brisbane Road in the fifth round, and really don't know where to start with that. Starting at the bottom and working upwards, because I'm pretty certain I know how this one's going to go. Thinking who's going to be as annoyed as I am. Kevin, what did you think of the efforts against Leyton Orient?
Very arrogant display. Keep ball. You know, we'll go up 1-0 up, and then you can't get the ball off us, so we don't have to press for a second goal. Basically, players who earn a lot of money not putting in a shift, and what really, really got at me was the incredible intensity of effort once Orient equalised. A spell of football which, if they'd actually bothered to put in for 15 minutes at any point earlier in the game, they could have won the game 4-0. It wasn't a result that upset me so much, because I could have accepted that result if Arsenal had played with some kind of commitment and just been unlucky. It was what I saw on the pitch, which was arrogant and complacent, and this is beneath us, and we shouldn't be here, and you know, I'm for most of them it was a case of, well, I'm not a first team player, and you know, so, you know, sod you, I'm just going to do the bare minimum to get through this game.
It was also predictable, wasn't it? I mean, you know, anyone that's been following Arsenal over the last 5 years probably half expected a performance like that from the team that was put out. There's so many of them that just almost think, as you say, you can just stroll through a game, especially against a team of Leighton Orient standing. They don't know anything about them. They probably barely watched a video.
As the manager said, I've never heard of Jonathan Tahoué, and he's French.
Yeah, which, yeah, this encyclopedic knowledge of every player on the planet.
This guy has come on and scored late goals for Orient many times this season. So what the hell was the advanced scouting there? I'm sorry, but the manager obviously didn't get back to the manager. And that also shows the arrogance that he wouldn't even take the team credibly enough to even swat up on them. You know, we are so good, we don't need to worry about the opposition. Well, I'm afraid, Arsene, that in the modern game, if you're going to win trophies, Jose Mourinho is an example of what you do. You work out your opponent's weak points and you make sure you focus on them on one level, but you also work out where they're good and you make sure your players are aware of that.
I think the only thing is you can say in Wenger's defence there that he probably treats Orient and Man United in the same way.
Yep, true.
But I mean, one thing I was just going to say on that Orient game, for reasons which I won't bore people with, I had to listen to the game on radio for the first time in years. I've listened to a game, full game on radio, and Martin Keown was on Radio 5 doing a summary, and he was like absolutely laying into Bentner and some of the others, you know, going, they're just not interested. They'd rather be anywhere else. And it was like, if Martin Keown's saying that, it was like, he should so be at the club. When he was there in the Champions League run, he got players playing way above their level. And I just think we're missing
such a... He turned Matthew Flamini into left back.
And Philip Sendros into a centre back. Perhaps even more shocking. And, you know, we are missing a trick there, big time.
But the replay brought with it a 5-0 win. And, you know, you can't buy... Well, you don't have to buy a 5-0 win. It comes as your 7th cup credit. But, Lindsay, did you go to the replay? Did you enjoy...
I did enjoy it. The guy who sits next to me, Ian, was a little bit bored at 3-0 up at half time. I wasn't bored. I quite enjoy all of that. I don't care how many we get. It's always exciting. But for me, I think this is where, you know, we used to... I know you guys talked about it last time, but we've got so many players who are out on loan at the moment that I would have thought that had you put them in that game against Orient, the Lansbury's, the J. Emmanuel Thomas's, well, we start with Mark Mandel, he hasn't gone anywhere, but like, a lot of players that we've let go on loan, I would have thought that they're the ones that would have been crying out to play in that game, who would have given it their all, and yet we're using this sort of B team, which to me never really looked like they can be bothered, especially in games that they feel mentally are below them. So why not go back to what we used to do with the Carling Cup in the rounds where you think these players should have enough to get past Leighton Orient? Use the youth, use the desire, and put them forward rather than playing Bentner in what he feels is something like a practice match.
That's a fair comment, actually. I mean, one player for me who underperformed terribly in both legs of the game is my arch nemesis, and if I still had hair, potentially my doppelganger, Manuel Almunia, who had... one thing to do in the first game and conspired to let the ball through his legs, and two things to do in the second game where he nearly got one cross and nearly passed the ball to the opposition after a rollback. Mike, what is the point in playing Manuel Almunia in the FA Cup when he is destined to leave this summer?
There's clearly no point, is there? I mean, it's Wenger being stubborn as usual. It's, you know, he's set this policy that he'll always use his reserve backup keeper in cup games, and at the moment that is Almunia. If it had been Fabianski was fit, it would have been Fabianski. But I don't understand the point. I mean, you know, the keeper is a position, as you obviously know, David, that doesn't run around much, and therefore why the hell do they need a break? They don't. They can just go out there, and Chesney will play every game. He clearly likes playing it. He's crying out for it early in the season. He's come in. Apart from the Carling Cup problem, you know, he's not really put a foot wrong. Play him. Just play your strongest team.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. Kevin, do you take any positive out of the Leighton Orient experience whatsoever?
Well, I mean, the manager would argue that it gave the backup players, who will at some stage be needed in the running, some game time. That doesn't apply to the goalkeeper, as we've discussed. In fact, given what happened on the Carling Cup final, I think it would have been a good idea to play Chesney. Just the sooner you get him back in and between the sticks, the better. But as for the others, I'm sure the manager treated it as an opportunity to gain fitness. And you can see that argument. I mean, in fairness, at home to Leighton Orient, fair enough. But what, you know, interests me is that when we played similar shadow teams when we were winning the FA Cup, because even between 2002 and 2005, in these type of games, we would put out a similar type of selection. And the players that played, a lot of them were knocking on the door of the first team, but they were not first choices. But the attitude they displayed was considerably different. And hence, you know, we ended up winning 3 FA Cups, I think, in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the only time we put out a full-strength team was in the final. Even semi-finals, Arsene would treat with contempt. And the one time he didn't get away with it, people remember the fact that he started with the Alliandier at Villa Park against Man United. Apologies for my pronunciation. With Henri on the bench, and I think Pires was on the bench as well. So, you know, playing weakened teams in the FA Cup is not unknown, but it kind of says something about the quality of the players who are the backups that we used to win the tournament. And now it's looking like a bit of a long shot.
But it's almost like the players that were the backups then genuinely believed that they could compete for a first team place.
Well, you had Dutch internationals like Van Bronckhorst, Brazilian internationals like Edu, one goal in one appearance for England, Francis Jeffers.
Yeah. Whereas you wonder whether the current players believe that. You know, does the likes of Danielson really believe that he's going to ever get a crack in the first team? And rightly so, he's probably thinking, no, I'm not.
Well, half expecting what I know the answer to the next question is going to be, I'm going to start with Lindsay in the hope that I can get a shade of optimism. Saturday brings the quarter final, and whilst we all had our fingers crossed for Stoke or Bolton at home, fate or the powers that be at ITV, depending which way you look at it, have given us a draw away at Old Trafford for the FA Cup quarter final. Now, under domestic cup regulations, you're entitled to 12.5% of the overall capacity as the away team rather than 5%. For the Premier League matches, which means that if wanted to, Arsenal would have to take 9,000 fans up to Old Trafford this week. Yet, lo and behold, despite having been on sale for a week and being available to any Arsenal member or Arsenal-related person in any way, shape or form, and maybe even Joe Public, we're only taking 6,000 tickets. That suggests that people know what's coming. But, Lindsay, what's coming this week?
I think a lot of people will remember the last time we went up there and got a nice spanking and had to race all the Manx fans back to London. So that probably puts a lot of them off. I think it will all depend on the week, depending on what happens with us with Barcelona and obviously with Manchester United. It's because they've got quite a tricky home tie in the Champions League the week after. So what kind of team selection is Fergie going to put in? We know he doesn't have a massive respect for the FA Cup either, pulled out of it at FIFA's request, the FA's request once. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going out at all.
Okay, Mike.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm glad you made the point about that Man United playing Marseille just after us, and you know that they will rest players. They might not do it to the same extent that we would have done in the same position, but we'll be coming on into the game on the back of hopefully a victorious trip to Barcelona, but we've got no game the following midweek, so frankly we should be playing a stronger team. Going back to the issue of tickets, I missed out. I really wanted to go to this one.
You missed out?
I didn't get a ticket. and I'll tell you the reason why. It was because at 4 o'clock on Thursday I got an email from the box office telling me that tickets had gone on sale at 2:30, and by the time we got our arse in gear they'd all gone. I was like, geez, thanks for that.
Yet we didn't opt to take up our additional 3,000 allocation.
I know, and I suppose in some ways I can understand it because there was a short space of time between games, but they shifted 6,000 in 24 hours, so I don't think 9,000 would have been beyond them.
Kev, you going up? Think about going up? Know anyone who's going up?
I know plenty of people are going up, and I wouldn't go up in a month of Sundays. I mean, the last time I went to Old Trafford was 2002, Apart from semi-finals, if we've had any since then.
Yeah, it was Middlesbrough 1 year, I think.
I mean, in a way, I'm seeing what people are saying here. You know, we've got West Brom a week after that quarter-final. And frankly, you know, if we did manage to get through that quarter-final, we've a great chance of winning that cup. I mean, you know, beat Barcelona or get a result there tomorrow. The treble's on, you know.
You've gone mad. Well,
it's exactly, a smell of ice.
Exactly. But I think that Ferguson will actually play a decent team in that game. I don't think he will be obsessed about the Marseille match because United are at home. And I don't think he'll throw the FA Cup out of sheer stubbornness and or pride because it's Arsenal. You know, I think he if it was another team, he might take the chance of going out. But in a funny sort of way, I've got a feeling that actually you will see two relatively strong teams. I think the indication in terms of Arsenal will be who he does pick in goal. If he picks Chesney, you might think actually he actually wants to try and win this competition. And if we are knocked out by Barcelona, then I suspect that will shape the selection for the Man United game, because we will only have two pots to go for and the players will have a week to recover. If we get through against Barcelona, he'll be thinking, I've got to save these boys for later in the season when we've got a lot of games. So I'm certainly more optimistic now than I was. However, the memories of 2008 still haunt, because the players weren't interested then. And it's the same attitude I saw in the first game against Orient. And if they get any kind of indication from the manager, and this could be in the team selection itself, that he's not that bothered, they ain't going to bother. And that's the worry. And that's why I wouldn't go up there, because you just can't tell with Arsenal.
The 2008 game at Old Trafford was one of my worst experiences as an Arsenal supporter. It's like I say, my stance has always been I've got no problem with Arsenal losing by any stretch of imagination, as long as at the end of 90 minutes they're all on their hands and knees, covered from head to toe in mud, having asthma attacks because they've got physically nothing more to give. The fact that Danielson can leave the ground most games without getting changed, such as the pristine condition of his kit, says it all. And I agree with Kev completely. Tomorrow night, weirdly, will have a bearing, probably a bigger bearing on whether or not we challenge the FA Cup this year than anything else. So just moving on to a few general Arsenal related housekeeping matters we haven't got round to talking about so far. Lindsay, there are rumours circulating, which the club are not doing their quickest to, not doing their best or their quickest to deny by any stretch of the imagination, despite being the most expensive season ticket in world sport, was set to see a price rise, notwithstanding the VAT increase this summer. What do you think about that?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because while the ground is a sellout, although not necessarily full, I suppose they're arguing that with the economics of the country as it is and stuff going up, then tickets are going to go up. As a fan, obviously I don't like it. I certainly don't like it when you get performances like you did get that we've mentioned already today. But I suppose that's going to be one of the things. While football is still sexy and while people still want to go and while there's still a waiting list, however long or short it may be, they feel like they can charge. My season ticket actually dropped this season, so now that was an unexpected surprise, and actually I thought that was quite a nice thing of the club to do, to realise that they could, if they could drop it, and it was financially viable to drop it, that they did. So I am expecting a rise, yeah.
Mike, are you at the process of topping out? Is too much ever going to become a reality for you, or like the rest of us, are you going to just fucking pay it? Because, well, you've got the right, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, how many times have I been asked that question, by the way? how much is too much? I'll probably carry on paying it until I drop dead, but which, you know, maybe tomorrow night, depending on how it goes. But
you listening, Diaby? You listening?
I think what will just pee off supporters more than anything if they put the price up is if we just continue not to spend the money that is clearly there. If we were, you know, if we'd gone and bought the players that we all felt we needed, and we've been saying it now for 2 or 3 years, you know, with the growing percentage of people saying it, then you're probably not going to begrudge paying an extra 50 quid per season for it, or whatever it might be. 50 quid in my area, please God don't let it be more than that. But all the while Wenger's keeping it in his back pocket, and we're rewarding players who really don't deserve it with new contracts worth 60,000-70,000 a week, I am going to begrudge an increase here.
Kev, with your Acer and AST hat on, obviously rumours of a summer tour to Japan kicking off, potentially being worth £15 million. Can the club justify rising ticket prices, knowing full well that essentially they're getting free money this year?
Well, they can't justify anything because they're already charging over the odds. However, the bottom line is supply and demand. If they are selling out pretty much every game that takes place at the stadium, they are going to be tempted to test the market. Now, the one thing they've got as a buffer is the reality that the vast majority of games sell out to members. They don't even need to flog tickets to the general public. Now, there is a huge well of people out there who would buy tickets who don't want to go through the hassle of becoming members, and you know the club can still go to them as a fallback if they are having trouble selling out matches. So they certainly have the scope to increase the prices. They can push it so far, you know. I'd imagine that the price rise will be something like £1 a ticket in the summer, plus VAT. So, you know, for people in the lower tier, we're talking £50. In the upper tier, depending where you sit, you know, between 60 and 70 or 80 per season. You know, there might be 1,000 people who drop out. The phenomenon which I could see growing and growing is season ticket sharing. You've got three guys that sit together, and they come to an agreement that two of them will renew and the other guy won't, and they'll only attend two games out of three. This sort of what I would call the novelty factor has disappeared a long time ago. People aren't fussed about attending, and you especially see it in less glamorous games. They'll all turn out when Man United come, they'll all turn out when Barcelona come. When Sunderland come, you're going to have 4,000 or 5,000 people who don't show up. That is the way it is now. The club are a long, long way from needing to worry about not filling the stadium. So, yep, prices will go up. They will get away with it. Are they providing value? No, they are not. However, are we going to pay in the beginning of May? Yes, we are. So therein, they've got us by the balls.
On the subject of overly expensive tickets, in the event we do somehow get past Barcelona, and in the quarterfinal, you know, stumble past Man United on penalties before in the semi-final drunkenly falling over and kicking Real Madrid up the arse, finding ourselves in the Champions League final at Wembley, we get to go back, but rather than paying 50 quid ahead, we'll be starting at 150 quid ahead. Lindsay, would you pay that much just to go to fucking HA9 and watch Arsenal play Chelsea in the European Cup final?
Yes, because I paid more than that. Double that to go to watch them in Paris, or much more glamorous than the shithole of Wembley. But of course, if I could go to the Champions League final for 150 quid, I'm going. Is it right? Is it fair? Is it good for families? Is it good for true support? No. Is it probably bankrolling all these execs having a lovely day out at our expense who don't even really give a shit who wins the game? Yes.
FIFA and UEFA are both officially non-for-profit organisations. Please carry on.
But yeah, I would pay 150 quid to go to a Champions League final. Of course I would.
Kev, £300 for you.
Factual points here. The tickets made available by ballot to the general public are categories 1, 2 and 3. There will be a category 4 ticket, which many of the teams who are involved, supporters, will be able to buy. which is the bargain price of, I think, £70 or £80.
Yeah, it's 80,
does that still cover your £26 admin fee?
You've got to add that. I will state that that is per booking. So if you buy six tickets, that is split six ways. So basically, club together with your mates, and then at least that lessens that a bit. It's ridiculously overpriced. UEFA have become touts. You know, they know the touts can get these prices, so they're thinking, why the hell shouldn't we? I mean, you know, if you do buy one of the category... Well, it's interesting, they've moved the final to a Saturday evening on the basis that they want more children to attend. And yet the package they're doing for an adult and child is, I think, a Category 2 ticket. So if you buy an adult and child ticket in Category 2, you're paying somewhere in the region of £330 for two individuals, one of which is an under 16. So it's only certain types of families who will be able to take advantage of that, and Bloody Rich Ones is how I summarise exactly who they are. For Arsenal fans, the only thing you can say about this particular year is we don't have to get flights and hotels.
No. So you're actually probably going to go for less money than you would if you
exactly.
were abroad, but that doesn't make it right.
But, you know, next year in Munich, the prices will be the same, and you're going to get your flight and your hotel. So, on one level, it's become an event game in which ordinary supporters are being priced out. I think there are a number of season ticket holders who had three credits who did not buy tickets to the Carling Cup final because of the prices. You know, they didn't want a crappy seat for £38, which would have been £45 by the time they paid for the postage and everything. And they thought, well, I'm not paying £50, £60, or £80, whatever, for the next best ones. So I think prices are now starting to make some people think twice about attending football matches, finals included.
Very quickly before we go, literally the last question of the evening. Kolo Touré doesn't seem like that kind of boy, and speaking to my my good friend Kinky Steve, who's a Manchester City fan, he remarked, based on the way Kolo Touré has been playing for the last 18 months, I can only presume he's tested positive for heroin. It doesn't seem like that kind of boy to Kev, based on the fact that Kev wrote the question. Mike, were you in any way surprised that Kolo's tested positive for noughties?
For taking something to help with his weight? No, not really, to be honest. I think we've always felt that he's a little over-endowed in some areas where he doesn't want to be. Yeah, but apart from that, I mean, he does seem like one of the more genuine players that wouldn't do that sort of thing. But, you know, Ryan Shawcross isn't that type of player either.
No, he certainly wasn't that type of player on Saturday when he kicked Scott Parker so hard, his boot hit my window in Hackney. And very quickly, Lindsay, your reaction to the Olympic Stadium going to West Ham instead of Spurs. Are you glad we've still got local rivals?
I'd have liked to have seen them fuck off, quite honestly. But no, I think that probably the right decision was made for that area.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, in protest, I set up a Facebook protest group called Stratford Hotspurs in Tottenham, or SHIT for short. So to wrap up, in traditional style, the email address for any communications about the podcast is goonapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks once again to our sponsors, GoonaShirts.com, and there's just time for Kevin to plug the next issue of the Gooner before we all call it a night.
Issue 214 will be out at the next Arsenal home game. Now, if that is by some chance a replay of an FA Cup quarter-final, that's going to make my life very interesting, because I will find out at best 72 hours before deadline that I've got to do an issue. So... I will be discussing this with Mr. Francis at some point.
Not for playwright, aren't you?
However, in theory, if there is a result positive one way or the other at Old Trafford, it will be out for the Blackburn game at the beginning of April, which is 3.5 weeks away, so I don't have to think about that much at the moment.
And I'm sure it will be mentioning a certain 50th anniversary, which is coming up.
Ah, well, indeed, yes.
Is this your... Is it, oh, I was going to say...
That's 50th anniversary.
Oh, right, okay, right.
Not that old.
I was going to suggest your 50th issue in charge of the Gooner, Kev.
More than that, I'm afraid.
Oh, Christ, I'm glad I asked. Thank you, Kev. We'll be back next month with even more. I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you very much for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Hooray!
Gonna win the Premier League title. Players come from Holland and France. The man in the black said, I'll give you the sack. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, we'll never win the league. Finally made a cup final. Lost empathy to the pain. Defence didn't play, it just wasn't okay. Another final lost in the pissing rain. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, we'll never win the league. Songs out so the ink came to Nielsen. Abu's his partner in crime. These guys are well paid, but they don't make the grade yet. It's not as if we're short of a dime. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, we'll never win the league.